All right, ladies and gentlemen, yeah, it's been a long weekend. I had a day off yesterday, which meant I worked at home, which means that I wore myself out, and I got insulation all over my hands, which basically means I can't get it off. It's like stained. And so when we do communion today, I'm going to be wearing a glove just so you don't have to look at the dirty spots on my hands while I'm handing out God's body and blood. So just so you know, I'm not sick or anything. Just foam insulation is nasty. It's nasty, messy stuff. But anyway, folks, this is an amazing Sunday. This is a day when we're going to be celebrating the transfiguration of Jesus, when he took Peter, James, and John up onto the top of the mountain, and Jesus revealed himself. Jesus was revealed to them as the Son of God in all his power, which is an incredible, important thing for us to know. Because let's face it, this life that God has given us is all about him. If he isn't God, then as Paul said, we should be pitied because we're living our life for nothing, but he is God. And because of that, we have all purpose and meaning in our life. We know exactly, you know, what God has done for us in his dying and rising for us in this creation of this world. And now Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you, and we know where our future is in heaven. And in addition to it being Transfiguration Sunday, it's also Confirmation Sunday, which is a kind of a big deal for five of you guys at least, you know, because they are confirming their faith today. And it's the end of a long time of preparation, and we can be very proud of them and very grateful to our Heavenly Father for continuing to work in the lives of these five young people, as well as all the rest of us. So as we gather this morning, let's turn our hearts and our minds toward our God, the one who is our beginning and our end, the one that cares for us in all times, the one who never, ever lets us down, the one who is completely faithful, and who came to us in the gift of baptism. And we begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My friends, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you today. We thank you. We thank you that you have made it possible for us to be in your presence. We thank you that you made it possible for us to have this relationship with you, Lord, because of your grace, because of your action, because of your love. Lord, I pray that you would continue to work in our hearts and our minds today as we have gathered in your presence, as you have sent your Spirit to work in and among us, to explain God's word to us so that we can receive it and know it and live it. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be our rock and our shelter, our anchor, Lord, in the storm. In your holy name we pray. Amen. My friends, let us stand as we confess our sins to God and receive forgiveness for them. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy upon us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God in his mercy has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sin. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all of your sin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's return praise to the God who has given us this forgiveness.
I'm trading my shame. gonna be my strength. Though the sorrow be less for the night, His joy comes with the morning. I'm trading my sorrows, I'm trading my shame. I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. I'm trading my sickness,
the final week this month for our new song, our new hymn, Come Thou Fount, and I'm going to read a little bit about that today. O to grace, how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be, is saying that every day we find ourselves desperately in need of God's grace. Fetter is an old word for a chain, stressing that it is God who keeps us wandering from the blessings He lavishes upon us in Jesus. It is God who seals us for His courts above, promising that nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord, Romans 8:39. We are His. He will not lose us despite our attempts to run from Him, and He will make us more like Jesus. I am relieved and refreshed when I remind myself that God is patient toward His adopted sons and daughters and does not expect them to flourish in their own strength, but by the transforming power of the Holy Spirit.
Seal it for thy courts above.
My name is Mike Kennedy. I'd like to welcome you all you visitors, for on behalf of St. Mark's. And I pray that God's word touches your heart. Our first reading this morning is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 9. It's on 1477, if you would like to follow along in your pew Bible in front of you. Jesus has just told the disciples that the Son of Man would suffer many things and be rejected and killed, and on the third day raised to life. And we read in verse 28, about 8 days after Jesus said this, he took Peter, John, and James with him and went up on a mountain to pray. As he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. Two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendor talking with Jesus. They spoke about his departure, which he was about to bring to fulfillment at Jerusalem. Peter and his companions were very sleepy, but when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. As the men were leaving with Jesus, Peter said to him, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what he was saying. While he was speaking, a cloud appeared and covered them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. A voice came from the cloud saying, "This is my Son, whom I have chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, they found that Jesus was alone. The disciples kept this to themselves and did not tell anyone at that time what they had seen. This is the word of the Lord.
All right, children, it is now time to come forward for the children's message. And the children's message today is going to be led by Sherry Haas.
Okay, guys, come sit down. Wow, this is a lot of people. This is awesome. I'm so glad you guys are all here. Come on down. Okay, today is a very special day. Do you guys know what today is?
No.
Nope. Okay, was anybody listening just a minute ago when Mr. Kennedy was reading out of the Bible?
No.
Nope. Okay. Well, then I'm going to tell you. Today is called Transfiguration Sunday. It's a big word, but it's a really, really, really important day. And I'm going to tell you all why, okay? But first, I want you to meet somebody. Look at this guy. Okay, so let's look at him. Let's guess. Do you guys have any idea who that might be?
Pastor Bob.
Why do you guys think it's Pastor Bob?
I remember that. He's not totally dressed.
And he has no dress up
past. Okay, well, let's look for a minute. Let's see. He does. Okay, so let's look at him. Now, look, he's wearing a suit. Like, if you look out in the crowd, there's a lot of men that have suits on. So that doesn't really mean he's Pastor Bob, right? Well, I don't know. We can get. Well, maybe this is his twin. Like, we don't know, right? Because look, a lot of guys have ties, right? There's a lot of men that have ties. Look at his shoes. There's other people that have brown shoes out here, aren't there? Yeah, and look at the size he is. He's about the size of some of your dads or your grandpas, right? So we really don't know for sure that's Pastor Bob. I mean, it could be Pastor Bob, but maybe it's not, right? So do you want to see who it is? Okay, go ahead and let's see who he is. You guys were right. It's Pastor Bob. But you, wait a minute, listen. You didn't know for sure until he took that off. Nope, he could have been somebody else. He revealed himself to us and showed who he was, right? Okay, so let me tell you about back to Transfiguration Sunday. So in the Bible, it tells us about, yeah, it is Pastor Bob, you're right. For reals, you're right. So it tells us in the Bible that Jesus and his disciples had been together for a long time. And so the disciples, they thought they knew who Jesus was, but they really weren't sure. Even though they saw him do tons of miracles, and like he raised people from the dead, and he loved people, and he took care of people, they still were not exactly sure who he was. He told them that he was the Son of God, but they were like, I don't know, because he just looks like a man. Like Pastor Rob looks like a man, right? Because he is a man. So they all weren't exactly sure, even though they had seen all these miracles and things. So one day, Jesus says, hey, Peter and James and John, I want you guys to take a walk with me. So let's go for a walk. And they're like, okay, Jesus, like we go on walks all the time. This is great. So they follow Jesus, and he goes, we're going to climb up that big mountain up there. And they're like, wow, that'll be awesome. We'll have an awesome view up there. It'll be great. So they all hiked up the mountain with Jesus. They get up to the top, and they're just like, wow, this is great. Let's look around. This is awesome. Well, then something crazy happens. They're standing there looking at Jesus, and all of a sudden, Jesus starts glowing. Like he's bright. Like he's like the sun. He's so white and he's so bright, they can hardly even look at him. And they're just like, oh my gosh, what is going on? Like, I can't believe this. What is happening? And then to top it all off, two more guys end up being up there with him, one on each side of him, Moses and Elijah. And you know what? They had been dead for a long time. They were buried. Like, they were dead. They were gone. Like, nobody had seen them in ages. Long, long time. So there's Moses and Elijah and Jesus, all glowing right up there, and they can't get over it. Like, they were probably kind of scared because what is happening, right? And then a big cloud comes over all of them. And then after that, they hear a voice, and it's God himself. And God says, this is my son. I love him. You need to listen to him. What? Like, can you imagine that? If you saw that, that's crazy. But it's really, really, really important, because that is the moment they all really knew that that really was God's son. No doubt anymore. That is God's son. He was revealed to them just like Pastor Bob revealed himself. He was revealed that that really was God's son. And that's a big, big, big important moment. And when he said listen to him, that's the same thing that he wants us to do, is listen to him. He wants us to listen to him. You know how we can do that? How do we know what Jesus wants us to do?
Read the Bible.
Yep. Read the Bible. In the Bible, it tells all the things that Jesus wants us to do. Yep. Ten Commandments are in there too. Deuteronomy is a good one too. And so it tells everybody how you should live your life and how you should love others and how you should be kind. And the most important thing it tells us is how much Jesus loves each one of you and how Jesus came to earth to die on the cross and save us from our sins. And so God wants us to listen our whole lives to read the Bible, because as you guys grow up and you get to be big like these guys that are going to be confirmed today, people are going to tell you things that aren't true in this world. But we always know that we can go back to the truth. We can go back to God's word. It's always true. It's the truth, okay? So why don't you guys, let's say a prayer. Will you guys say it after I say it? Will you fold your hands and bow your heads? Dear Jesus, thank you for sending Jesus to earth. Dear Lord, thank you for the Bible. And thank you that it teaches us how to live. Please help us to listen to your word and live like you want us to live. Amen. Thank you for coming up, guys.
Very good. Okay, kids, it is now time for a little worship. So if you guys want to meet at the cross in the center aisle, you guys can do that. And we will bring those kids back after the message is over. And for the rest of us, let us open up our scriptures today. We're going to, the sermon's text is Hebrews chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. Therefore, holy brothers and sisters who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, whom we acknowledge as our apostle and high priest. He was faithful to the one who appointed him, just as Moses was faithful in all God's house. Jesus has been found worthy of greater honor than Moses, just as the builder of the house has greater honor than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but God is the builder of everything. Moses was faithful as a servant in all God's house, bearing witness to what would be spoken by God in the future. But Christ is faithful as the Son over God's house, and we are his house, if indeed we hold firmly to our confidence and the hope in which we glory. So, anything happened this week? I mean, it seems like just another week in the last, 2 years. Crazy stuff is happening all over the place. Now, war. And if our life wasn't uncertain enough, now it's even more uncertain. You know, what's going to happen next? The fact is that God tells us very clearly in Scripture that we shouldn't be expecting easy lives. There are some denominations that'll try to tell you that God promises that because we are his children, that everything will be easy for us and good for us. But Jesus tells us very plainly that that is not the case. He said, if the world hates me, guess what? It's probably going to hate you too. You know, if the people were against me, they will be against you too. Last week we talked about that, and it definitely hasn't changed this week. And so the question is this, guys, how in the world are we supposed to move forward in this world? Because is the world going to be hard? Are things going to be difficult? Are we ever going to know exactly who's in control? And earthly speaking, you know, who's going to be in control by next week and what's all going to happen? We just never know. But Jesus knew what we needed. See, his disciples on the when he took them up on the mountain, they were going to be heading into some very uncertain times as well. You know, this is the big event, this transfiguration, the big event that turned Jesus toward Jerusalem. That at that point, Jesus did a tour basically of the country, and he visited lots of places, and he did lots of things, and he said lots of things, but his final destination was Jerusalem, and you guys all know what was going to happen when he got there. He was going to be arrested. He was going to get a mock trial, and then he was going to suffer and die for us. And the disciples, Jesus told them very plainly what was about to happen, but were they ready for this? Did they understand when it was happening? And so Jesus, in order to prepare his disciples for what was about to happen, took them to the top of the mountain, and he revealed himself to them. And he showed them that he is God. He showed them in no uncertain terms. He didn't persuade them. He didn't argue with them. He didn't use some clever language. He revealed himself in his glory by shining like the sun. And when Peter tried to come up with something smart to say, as Peter always tried to do and failed miserably once again, the Father spoke and said, "This is my son. Listen to him." And the question I have is, how is that preparation for what was about to happen next? How did that armor the disciples? How did that help the disciples? How did that anchor the disciples for all the uncertainty that they were going to be experiencing in the next few months? And it's kind of revealed to us in the text for today, this Hebrews 3. Hebrews is a book that is focused on Jesus. It's written to the Hebrews. The Hebrews had the whole Old Testament that basically had all these stories and all these things that God had told the children of Israel over the years. And the book of Hebrews is basically just laying down the case for that all of this stuff that was told the children of Israel in the Old Testament was all pointing to this Messiah who had come, whose name was Jesus. And the book constantly is driving home who Jesus is, how great Jesus is, how different Jesus is than everything that has come before. And this is a book written to the Hebrew people. And who was the great prophet of the Old Testament, the ones that the children of Israel constantly look back to know to whom they belong? This Moses, this one that took the children of Israel out of Egypt by the power of God and brought them into the wilderness, and through whom God told the children of Israel, "This is who you are. You are God's people. And this is how you will operate as God's people." And all the law of God came to the children of Israel through this Moses. And Moses was their great prophet, the one that they always looked back to when they wanted to know who they were. We would know who we are because we can look back to Moses and everything that Moses told us. And now Hebrews is telling us that there is one who is even greater than Moses who has come. Now, this is a struggle to accept for Hebrew people, because Moses was that great figure, that powerful figure, that one that is God's prophet. And the text today tells us, yes, Moses was faithful. Was he perfectly faithful? Well, no. We can look back and see all the places that Moses went wrong. But was Moses faithful? Did he do the work that God gave him to do? Yeah. But this text tells us this: Moses was faithful as a person who lives in the house of God. He is one who is faithful in the house. Jesus is one who is faithful over the house. It said Moses is one who was part of the house that God built, and God, Jesus is the one who made the house, assembled the house, and put it together. And so how does this help us? Well, it's this. When the children of Israel needed to know to whom they belonged, when they needed to know the promises of God, they looked back to Moses. When we need to know to whom we belong, when we need to know the words and promises of God, we look to Jesus. We look to Jesus. We look to what he said and what he did. Through Jesus, we know God. We know the Father. Jesus told us that. He said, if you know me, you know the Father. You know the one who sent me. Because Jesus and the Father are one. In the Trinity, that incredibly confusing, difficult to understand truth that we believe in one God who has three persons, and that the Father and the Son are separate and yet to united, that we don't have three gods but one God, but three persons in one God, and Jesus is God, the Father is God, but we don't have two gods but one God, that whole thing. Yeah. But Jesus tells us that, he says, if you know me, you know the Father. If you know me, and if you know what I love, you know what the Father loves. If you know me and you know what I hate, you know what the Father hates. So know me. that when we know this Jesus who has revealed himself to us, this Jesus who we have his words written, we can read these gospels and we know the story and we know what Jesus said while he was here. And it's so important that we know this Jesus, because here's the thing. We still know who we are by looking to Jesus. He is the one that we keep our eyes on as we go through this world. There are so many things in this world that are going to confuse us, so many things in this world that are going to distract us, so many things in this world that seem like they are the big thing, the thing that is going to make all the difference. I mean, if you watch the news, you can hear all the different things that we should be afraid of, all the different things that are going to end us, all the things that are going to, that we need to cling to for safety, all these things that are the thing, according to the world. But what is the only thing that we need to be keeping our eyes on is Jesus. Because when all these other things are gone, it's him and us who last forever. At the final time, at the final day, when the trumpets sound, when Christ returns, everything in this world is going to be gone. But God and his word and his people, we will live on. It's so important to be able to keep that perspective as we go through life. So important to keep in front of our eyes the things that are most important, the things that will last forever, so that we are not so easily distracted. So that we do not focus on the wrong thing, but we stay focused on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, the one who loved us, the one who died for us, and the one who is now in heaven preparing a place for us. My friends, how do we have hope? How do we keep going? How do we know what is, stay busy doing his work in this world? We know the one who spoke God's truth to us, the apostle. We know the one who died for us, our great high priest. And we hold firmly to the one who is our confidence. And we know the one who is our hope for the future. This is our God and our King. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would continue to be with us. Give us strength, give us faith, give us tenacious hope, Lord, as we face this future that we have in this world, Lord, knowing that this is not the most important thing that is happening right now, but your work, your grace, and your action in the people that you loved. In the eternity, Lord, that you have worked out for us. Help us, Lord, as we speak your truth in this world. In your name we pray. Amen. My friends, let us continue our worship service as we sing the next song together. And then we will be going into the confirmation service.
I want.
All right. At this time, I would like my confirmands to please stand. Now, these poor people have been through 2 years of preparation with me. We've studied all the doctrines that are in the small catechism, and we've learned about them, and we've achieved some knowledge. Confirmation is kind of a big deal. With the way the relationship between us and God begins is in our baptism. That when we are baptized, we are brought into the family of God through an act of God, of Him working through that word and that water to bring faith into the hearts of people. The trouble is that a lot of times we're baptized as children, right? And when we're baptized as children, we can't answer back to God. God looks at you and He says, "Yes, you are my child." And then at some later date, we need to be able to answer back to God and say, "Yes, God, you are my God." And that's what confirmation is. This is the formal event where we are, after being trained in the basics of the faith, that we can answer back to God and say, "Yes, Lord, I belong to you." And so it's kind of a big deal, because there's some really, it seems like such an easy thing to say, "Yes, Lord, I belong to you," but there's some very impactful, very real consequences of belonging to God, and that means that we really belong to Him, and that means in the good times and in the bad times, and even if there's great cost to us, we will continue to live out the faith that God has given us. Even if it would kill us. And so as we say the vows today, look and see the seriousness of what these kids are saying. Because it's a really big deal. Luke Ryan Margoff, your confirmation verse is Isaiah 43, verse 5. "Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bring your children from the east and gather you from the west." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, so much for Luke and the faith that you have given him. Lord, I pray that he would be able to cling to you, Lord, in good times and in bad, so that he is never afraid, because he knows that you are God and that you care for him. Amen. Annalise Grace Lockwood, your confirmation verse is Romans chapter 12, verse 2. "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for Annie, Lord, and the faith that you have given her. This relationship that you have brought her into, Lord, this incredible love that she gets to experience, and the faith, or the forgiveness, Lord, that she receives from you because of this relationship. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with her, continue to change her, Lord, continue to help her, Lord, to be the woman of God that you want her to be, so that she can be your person, Lord, in this world, doing your work and doing it boldly. Thank you, Jesus, for all your love. In your name we pray. Amen. Samuel Jocelyn Hagley, your confirmation verse is Jeremiah 29:11. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for Sam, Lord, and for the relationship, Lord, that you have started with him in his baptism, that relationship that continues today and will continue into the future. Lord, I pray that as you are faithful to him, that he would continue, Lord, to be faithful, Lord, to follow the plans that you have laid out for him. And to help, Lord, to just continue to bless him, Lord, as he goes about the work that you've given him. Lord, help him to have faith as he serves you. Thank you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. Tabern Anthony Geiler. Your confirmation verse is Isaiah 42:10. Sing to the Lord a new song, his praise from the ends of the earth. You who go down to the sea and all that is in it, you islands and all you who live in them. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, so much for Tabern, Lord. We thank you for the gifts that you have given him. We thank you for the joy you have put in his heart because of your grace and your love and your forgiveness and the hope that he has, Lord, in you, that certain hope of knowing he will be in heaven with you forever. Lord, I pray that that joy would never leave him. Help him, Lord, to be able to share that joy, to live that joy, to speak that joy often. Thank you, Lord, for all his blessing or all your blessings to him. In your name we pray. Amen. Luke Frank Deutschman. Your confirmation verse is Isaiah 40:31. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for Luke, for the faith that you have put in his heart, the faith that he is confessing today. And Lord, because of the faith that you have given him, we look forward to the day when everything will be made new, when we will be able to walk and not be weary, where we will be able to soar on wings like eagles. And Lord, with the knowledge, Lord, of that future, I pray that you would continue to give Luke that hope in this life. That if you have provided for him that future, Lord, you will not leave him alone today, but you will be with him always. Thank you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, my friends. The confirmands are going to be available to you after the service. You're going to be able to come and give them hugs and handshakes and all that stuff. And you can tell who they are because they all have flowers. That works out well. You know, people like wonder why people become pastors. Why do you get into church work? Why do you do all this stuff? And let me tell you what, today's days like this are payday. Just so you guys understand, that was you watch God and his work in the hearts of these young people and everything he does and the confidence that he gives them and the development in them as people. That's absolutely amazing. And so we have a lot to be grateful for today. My friends, let us turn to our God in prayer. Let us pray for our confirmands, and we're also going to be having a special prayer for the war in the Ukraine and for the world leaders who've got a lot of difficult decisions ahead of them. Please stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you. We thank you that you have brought us into this relationship with you, that we are part of your house, that we are your family, that we are the ones that you have saved, the ones that you loved enough to redeem, even though it cost you your life. Lord, we thank you for all of that. We thank you that you have continued to work in us, that you give us everything we need for this life, and more importantly, everything we need for the next life, that you have earned for us the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. And Lord, we thank you that you have done this for these young people today, these five confirmands, that you would continue to work in their hearts, Lord. This faith that they have confessed today, I pray that you would continue to grow it, to strengthen it, to make it powerful, Lord. Not powerful because the faith is powerful in itself, but it's powerful because it is faith in you, the God of creation, the one who made us, the one who holds all things together, and the one who loves us. Lord, I pray that you would bind these young people close to you, Lord. Help them, Lord, that their hearts would always seek your will, always seek your to please you, Lord, among all things, to worship you first, to have you as their God. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with their families as they continue to encourage them in their faith, that the priority of their faith in you would be the first thing, the most important thing, the thing that is done first and best, that not only these young people would be saved, Lord, but that they would be able to save others, Lord. that they would be the strong Christian men and women who are going to be able to take your gospel into this world, that more people would hear. Thank you, Lord, that you have continued to be with our nation, Lord, and that you have blessed us in so many ways. And Lord, today we just bring before you, Lord, the nation, the Ukraine people. I pray that you would give them peace, Lord, in the middle of war. That you would help them to know you and the confidence that comes through the faith that they can have in you. The confidence that comes from them knowing of your great love and your great mercy. And that they can always have their eyes on you, the one who is going to take them from this world into the world that he has created for them. Lord, I pray that you would be with them, provide for them, protect them. And Lord, please bring peace. Lord, we pray for all the people of our congregation and all the difficult situations that they are in, Lord, whether it be difficult decisions that need to be made, whether it be physical problems, whether it be relationship issues, Lord, whether it be whatever it is, Lord, that we, Lord, I pray that you would help us to always be able to remember that you are our God, that you have power over all these things, that you are an answer for them. And Lord, even if we are not able to achieve perfect health and perfect relationships and whatever else in this life, Lord, that we know that we have a promise that we will be with you, Lord, forever. And at that time, everything will be perfect as it should be. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. And we pray the prayer that you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, drink of it, all of you. This cup is a new covenant in my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me."
Nation.
Now, my friends, having received this very body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the strength and forgiveness he gives us in this gift, depart in his peace and in his joy. Amen. Receive our Lord's blessing. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen. Let us stand as we sing the final song together.
ever rises, we wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord. Strength arises, we wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord. Our God, you reign forever. Our hope, our strong deliverer. You are the everlasting God, the everlasting God. You do not fade, you won't grow weary. You're the defender of the weak. You comfort those who need. You lift us up on wings like eagles. Strength arises, we wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord. Strength arises, we wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord. Our God, you reign forever. Our hope, our strong deliverer. You are the everlasting God, the everlasting God. You do not fade, you won't grow weary. You're the defender of the weak. You comfort those in need. You lift us up on wings like eagles. You are the everlasting God, the everlasting God, the everlasting God, the everlasting. Strength arises, we wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord. Strength arises, we wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord. You are the everlasting God, the everlasting God, the everlasting God, the everlasting.
Right, two announcements before you go today. First of all, youth mission trip. We are going to the Navajo reservation this summer. We need to know who is going. They say Tuesday, March 1st is the deadline. I can give you some wiggle room on that, but not much because we've got a lot of preparation to do. We haven't been to the Navajo reservation in three summers, so we didn't go in a row. One was National Youth Gathering, two were COVID. So basically, we have all new kids going. Nobody who's been there before is going. So we've got some serious preparation work to do to get everybody ready to go and serve. So we need to know who's going right away. Ash Wednesday, March 2nd is our first Ash Wednesday service. The services are going to be led by Pastor Dar, we're really privileged to have that. They're going to be the symbols of Jesus and there's also going to be at the 5:30 Lent for kids for anybody who has early bedtimes and wants to do something that's more oriented around our little people and our families. All right, with that, God's blessings on your week. What's that? Okay, I can't even tell who that is. Rachel Landgraf? Oh, that's scary. I have no idea what this is, so I'm not responsible, okay?
Sorry, I am a member. I actually graduated here. I'm an alumni. I go to Eureka High School now, and I am taking child development. We have a diaper drive going on, and if you guys are willing to donate, I will be out there next week and the week after for taking in extra diapers so that we can donate them to people in need. Thank you.
And I assume you're collecting new diapers.
It doesn't have to be new.
I'm just assuming. All right, very good. You know what? Isn't that amazing? Our kids are out there actually doing things in the community and sharing the love of Christ. That is astounding. So, yeah, if you can support that, that is amazing. With that, anybody need individual prayer or would like to have individual prayer, Mike Kennedy, one of our elders, is standing right outside the prayer chapel, and he will pray with you. God's blessings on your week. Count for bands. If you want photos right afterward, don't go anywhere. Stay right here. All right? Very good. Outstanding. Blessings, folks.